And Senator Richard Colbeck will have position number one for the Liberal Party on the ticket. Senator, good to talk to you this morning.
Good morning, Leon, and I'm pleased to know that you're turned on by 12 senators.
Indeed. I was turned on at the prospect. I don't know how I'm going now. What have you done as a senator for Tasmania over the past term that you've been in office?
Well, perhaps the most important piece of work that I've done over the last 3 years would be the select committee into the food processing sector, which I drew up the terms of reference for, argued to have passed through the parliament, being opposed by the Labor Party and the Greens, I might say. Then I chaired the committee, and the report was handed down in August last year. And given the conversations that are being had around the food processing sector here in Tasmania right now, that is become a very important piece of work, and the background and information that I've picked up during that process of chairing that committee has become very valuable for me.
Is it reasonable to say that the community can have an expectation that senators will get things done for their state, whether their party's in power or not?
Well, look, we always try to achieve things, and I think any member of parliament will do that, whether or not their party is in power. And every now and then you do get some small wins, and you take comfort from that. But always the main game is being in government. It's being able to put the things that you've learnt, the things that you've brought to the parliament into place so that you can make your community a better place to live in, and so that there's job security for your communities, there's a strong social network, all of those sorts of things. I don't think there's anyone in the parliament that doesn't really have those objectives, whether they're in government or not. It's just easier to achieve those things quite often when you're in government, or you're more likely to get the credit for it when you're in government, while you might have done a lot of the background work in opposition.
What have you done to reduce unemployment in Tasmania in the last 6 years?
Well, I've argued a number of things. I think the work, again, that I did around food processing, looking at that industry, getting a good understanding of the issues around the freight task in and out of the state, all of the issues that we're talking about as part of the general discussion of the economics of this state, and ensuring that there is strong employment, strong industry. I mean, the stance that I've taken, I think, around the forest industry is a clear indicator. I haven't thought that the process that the government has been following has been a good idea right from the start. And I know, and the community also knows, and that's borne out by the conversations that I'm having with them, that's been a clear driver of increased unemployment in this state and loss of an industry and the decline of an industry that should be much, much stronger rather than just pandering to minority groups.
And no doubt you're one of the people that Tony Abbott will get in the room if he's talking about framing a Tasmanian forestry policy if he wins election. What will you do with the $100 million that's been allocated for regional development?
Well, we've already said we'll stand by that $100 million. So under the coalition, that $100 million is there. It's safe. It's allocated. Under the Labor Party, it still is subject to what the upper house does in respect of the Tasmania Community Forest Agreement. So you will get the $100 million allocated as it is under the Liberals, plus our growth plan for Tasmania, which we'll be announcing during the campaign. Under the Labor Party, you might, if the upper house passes the Tasmanian Forest Agreement, get the projects that the Prime Minister announced a couple of weeks ago.
It's, I think, 3 weeks and 5 days until the federal election. When will you be releasing your, quote, Tasmania package?
Well, we're still working on the final drafts of that. I spent a bit of time over the weekend dealing with some of the final details of it, as I know some of my colleagues did. So we're still working on that, but we started on that process last year when Tony announced that he'd asked the four of us to get together and start communicating with the community around what the community thought was the best things that were needed to grow the Tasmanian economy.
Is it reasonable to ask why it can't be part of more of the debate around between the political parties in Tasmania in this campaign?
How do you mean, Leon?
Oh, in terms of having more time to look at it and have your Tasmania package as part of the discussion?
Oh, look, I don't think it'll be all that far away, Tony. Sorry, Leon. It won't be all that far away. The document is pretty close to being finalised, and so it's just a matter of when Tony returns. He said last week that he would be back here next week, which is this week. So whether he announces it this week or in the near future, I don't know, but it's very close to being finalised.
Last time, or a few times back when we spoke with Tony Abbott, he talked about $200 million for the Midland Highway and duplication. Is that going to be a policy pledge that you take to the election?
I think the number was four. 100 million.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. I think Tony's repeated that number and that pledge often enough to indicate that that will be part of our platform.
A freight equalisation policy that is clear and indicates to business exactly what will happen with freight and support out of Tasmania to the mainland and beyond. Will you have one of those in the Tasmania package?
We will be talking about freight in and out of Tasmania, yes.
How do you get to be number one on the ticket, Senator?
Well, I suppose it's a recognition of the work that I've done. I started at number four on the ticket in the first campaign that I contested. At the next election, I was at number three. And then following some retirements and a change in the structure of the ticket in 2007, I was selected at number one and I've retained that position this time. So I'm very pleased that my party has have the confidence in me to put me into that position, and I look forward to continuing to reward them with work and good policy.
It's interesting, this idea of the Senate as the place for states' rights to be advocated. How far away from that do you think that we've moved in Australia? Some people believe we have moved all too far away from that, and that senators, like those in the lower house, simply represent the interests of their parties over their states.
Well, I wouldn't say that we're completely moved away from it. I mean, I've had a number of conversations where people have wanted to impose a national policy that would negatively impact on Tasmania. You don't necessarily see that conversation publicly, but I can tell you it's very robust. And I think that, on plenty of those occasions, I've been able to, along with my colleagues, get the right result for Tasmania. And we do have a reputation as a Senate team in Canberra of hunting in a pack. And I remember John Howard looking at us on a number of occasions saying, "You're all here again." So, you know, we meet as a group every week in Canberra as a team. We talk about issues that relate to Tasmania and what we need to do to make sure they get implemented. So being a Tasmanian senator is still very, very much a part of what we do.
How hard was it to argue that Pontville Detention Centre could be closed when it meant 200 jobs for Brighton?
Well, the question is, should it have been opened in the first place? You know, Kevin Rudd in 2008 reversed the policies that John Howard had put in place, and unfortunately this whole sad process started up again. The real question is, should it have been opened in the first place, not should it be closed? And I think in the context of the broader community debate, the best thing would be that we didn't have to have it in the first place. So at some point in time, it's going to have to close. Yes, it will mean that those jobs that exist there won't be there, but I think it's pretty sad that we're talking about the issue of asylum seekers in the context of job creation.
Good to talk to you this morning. Thank you for sharing your time.
Thanks very much, Leon.